This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The sponsor of our show wants to know. They're the law firm Kondori & Murad. They will help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Training camp for the Commanders get started tomorrow. In fact, I'm going to go out to the park for Adam Peters and Dan Quinn holding press conferences, and we will have coverage from Ashburn on The Fan tomorrow, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. But right now, let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome onto the show our buddy Eric Flack, the award-winning reporter for WUSA TV9 in town. Eric, we appreciate you hopping on Grant and Danny as always. I want to start with, can Trump actually kill the RFK deal, and if so, how?
The answer is yes. There's three ways he could do it. The first and most direct is he could issue what's known as executive action, which would just cancel the lease. So he has the ability to cancel the lease that the federal government and National Park Service agreed to and signed with D.C., he could say D.C. Council, by not taking action, is violating the terms of the lease because they're not acting to redevelop the site. The second is both two and three are kind of a little bit more obscure. One is the National Capital Planning Commission, and that group cast critical votes on construction projects all across the district, which would include RFK, like development regulatory type stuff. And then the third is the Commission of the Fine Arts, which reviews design and aesthetics of all D.C. construction. That's the group that kind of makes sure that, like, nothing's bigger than the Washington Monument and that D.C. has that iconic look everywhere and that you can't just build skyscrapers everywhere. And President Trump just appointed board members to the number two and three, both those boards, the Commission, Planning Commission, and the Commission of Fine Arts. So conceivably, he could use his influence to block votes there if he didn't go for option one, which is just canceling the lease altogether.
Eric, this is not a great analogy, but I'll do my best. A lot of times my older sons and I, you know, we'll be horsing around, we're playing, we're having a good time. And then my wife will come sort of like, not storming down, but sort of move through the house with a purpose. You could sort of tell she's got momentum. And then just sort of declare, things need to be cleaned up. And then we all start scurrying. Right? This is a similar situation. Reminds me of this. The peons, the little lowly D.C. City Council and a couple of reps from the team and Josh Harris, big deals to us, but small potatoes compared to the highest office and the leader of the free world. What are the little peons doing? How are they feeling today? Sort of they're removed from this. Like, what are they thinking? What are they up to? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think D.C. Council, I think, is a range of how serious really is this threat. I don't really care what the president says one way or the other. I mean, you've got those two votes against it. So, like, the Does and Allens of the world are like, cool, cancel the lease. You have the people who are for it, who clearly want to see this deal move forward. And then you have these middle votes like the Zachary Parkers of the world, who have kind of said, well, I want to see this happen, but we really need to scrutinize this deal. Robert White, Matthew Freeman. And I think those are the key bellwethers. Like,
Let me jump in on that real quick? That's the majority of the council. I would put Charles Allen in that category as well. But to me, that's just a no. It's just a way of kind of being on the fence and saying no. And we've had all the guys you just referenced on the show. But the idea that you'd like a stadium, well, who wouldn't? The idea that you'd like to get a deal done in the fall, well, no kidding. You're a no on this plan. That means you're a no. I just think, as much as I'm annoyed that she won't actually do any media on it, like Nadu or whatever, at least she's just saying, I'll never vote for this thing.
Yeah, I am not quite as like hard line on the Zachary Parkers. Like Allen, yeah, is a no, but I do think the people who say they have reservations, and I say this because I know that the team believes a lot of these people are ultimately yes votes and are just kind of dragging their feet for whatever reason and wanting to scrutinize. So going back to Danny's question really quick, I think the bigger question is how concerned are the Commanders? And I don't have an answer for that yet. I know that they're not concerned. Does that make sense? Like, that's a double negative on purpose. The Commanders are not concerned. And I think the lack of the silence is deafening coming from the team. They haven't commented on this. They haven't heard anything. Trust me, we've asked. You talk to people behind the scenes and, they know that he does have the power to do what he is threatening to do if they don't change the name. Now, whether he's going to do it or move on to something else is a different question that nobody really knows the answer to. But, like, the answer to, like, can he do it? Like, yeah, he can.
Eric Flack of Channel 9. So what changed? 6 weeks ago, he was holding a Commander's helmet, high-fiving Josh Harris at the press conference. Like, where did those two tweets come from yesterday?
Okay, well, a couple things. One, he was asked on a tarmac a couple weeks ago about the stadium. He said DC Council needs to act, but even then kind of moderated what he was saying. Said, we could get involved, but they're trying to play hardline. I get that. And there was a less kind of publicized part of that exchange where the reporter on that tarmac in New Jersey did ask him, well, what about the name? And he was like, well, they should change it back. But he didn't seem like really like passionate about it. He was just like, well, yeah, that's dumb. They should change it back. So what happened between that moment and then yesterday? If you were a political pundit, you could argue that President Trump was trying to change the conversation from some other things that he does not want to deal with in his, like, this news cycle right now, which is the Jeffrey Epstein thing that's going on and not something your viewers, listeners want to get bogged down with, but he's dealing with kind of a political firestorm about his connection to this, sex trafficker guy that died in jail after being, convicted of all these crimes for being, connected to the rich and famous. And he wants that to go away. You could argue that anytime he does something like this out of left field, it is a political calculation to change the conversation to something other than the conversation he doesn't want to be having right now. That's one argument. The other is, somebody said something to him on a golf course, and he decided to start tweeting about it. That's a real possibility. I'm not being flippant. That happens with this precedent. So those are two possibilities, because we know this is not something that the White House would have been tactically involved in.
Eric Flack with us here on Grant and Danny. So let's pretend for a split second that the president didn't post two different things about our little football team here. Okay. Where were things kind of state of the union with those negotiations with the team and the city council? We mentioned kind of the, a couple of guys that are, have some reservations, et cetera. Where was the lobbying? Where were we in that process? And now reenter those posts. How does that affect that timeline?
I think conversations were going on behind the scenes, but I think the team is still waiting for a real clear, you know, roadmap to what the council needs changed. And without the conversations being officially kickstarted in the council by having, you know, a vote set, having a debate set, having these official discussions, you know, that nothing can happen quickly. And, you know, you had even some of Phil Mendelson, the chairman of the D.C. Council's own council people, kind of accusing him of withholding information. Because now, just like the Mendelson was frustrated with the mayor for having one-on-one conversations, now council people are frustrated with Mendelson for kind of trying to have one-on-one conversations with the team. And then, you know, anytime they drop, you know, going back to Friday night, which seems like 2 years ago now, going back to Friday night when the council dropped their independent analysis, like when you drop any sort of significant report on a Friday night, it's always to, so it misses a news cycle. It is to bury it. And, you know, so to answer your question, I think they haven't gotten very far unless Phil Mendelson has kind of worked out some of these things behind the scene, but that doesn't help all these people in the middle, the Frumans, the Parkers, the, you know, those type of people, the Whites, Robert White, who, you know, kind of said, well, you know, I think I'm going to approve it, but I need more.
Eric Flack, Channel 9 in D.C., award-winning reporter who's been covering everything going on with this stadium. So the deadline didn't mean anything, basically.
I mean, not really. I mean, unless you really thought that the Commanders were, like, you know, going to, like, start taking calls from Maryland. Certainly Maryland and Virginia did call. But, you know, I think the Commanders still want to be in D.C., so, and they had always said that I expected this to go past the July 15th deadline. And we kind of knew that. So technically, if Maryland rolls in with a $5 billion taxpayer funded check tomorrow or today and said, hey, come build and we'll pay for the entire thing. Yeah, conceivably, the Commanders could sign that deal today and we could all be talking about FedEx 2.0 out, you know, or Northwest 2.0, whatever it's called, out in Prince George's County. But the Commanders don't want that. D.C. doesn't want that. Everybody still wants the stadium. Well, the majority of people still want the stadium, including the most important people. The Commanders still want the stadium in RFK.
Has Maryland moved on to a degree? I mean, Wes Moore's talking about time to move forward and you know, sort of ran the idea of, yeah, there's a, you know, someone's going to play there 8 days a year. We've got to really redevelop that. Have they kind of moved on without this as a possibility?
Yeah, I think that depends on who you ask. I know the team is taking calls from Maryland. Is that Prince George's County? Is that Wes Moore's office? You know, that part's a little unclear. Wes Moore is clearly saying publicly, we're moving on, we're redeveloping the land. But, you know, if you don't think that they're kind of watching this with just the slim hope, you know, the Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance that if this deal falls apart, Maryland is the only legitimate option because Virginia doesn't have a site, that Maryland wouldn't be ready to have their ducks in a row, that would be one of the most mismanaged, you know, situations, opportunities of all time, not to at least be ready to pounce. So I don't think Maryland has, like, you know, or Wes Moore has convened a, you know, Commander's Stadium task force behind closed doors to start, you know, putting a package together. But, I mean, I think there's somewhere in between we've moved on to we're, you know, not even going to consider the possibility of keeping the chance open should all of this fall apart. Because as we just found out 24 hours ago,
who thought we'd be talking about a Donald Trump tweet here at this point, unraveling this whole thing?
Eric,
unexpected stuff seems to happen all the time.
I'm going to throw Eric on hold because something's going on with his phone right now. Sounds like maybe he just jumped in a pool.
Stepped in the largest room ever with the biggest echo possible and held the phone at arm's length.
I'm guessing pool. I think he's swimming? Got one of those underwater phones, think, is how it worked. You can, of course, listen to our Eric Flack interview on the Odyssey app, wherever you are, or watch us live on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream and a podcast if you're just jumping in the car when we're done. We're getting some of the specifics on whether or not Donald Trump could actually put a kibosh on the stadium deal in D.C., and he says yes, and there's three ways he could do it. Eric, I'm going to circle back here before we let you go really quick. What's your best guess? I mean, you cover politics. We don't. You have covered everything going on in D.C. for an extended period of time. Do you think this was just a comment and a tweet that, you know, it's like, you know, you could fire it off and not think anything of it and move on, and then everyone else is just going crazy about this for days on end? Or do you actually think this is a real thing, that he actually is going to engage?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think so much of what Donald Trump does as a politician depends on what the crowd tells him. And I think it goes back to, like, even his, like, political speeches. If somehow this catches fire and he feels like his base in some way, shape, or form wants him to fight this fight, and it's going to bring him positive publicity in the way that he wants it, I think he would pursue it. The question is this really going to matter to anybody outside the Beltway? And is the juice worth the squeeze for him? I'm going to say he moves on. I'm going to say this is a 24-hour news cycle thing. I reserve the right to be wrong in a situation like this.
Goodness gracious. What a timeline we are in right now. Eric, thank you, buddy.
You got it.
Be good. There's Eric Flack of Channel 9 in town. Got a football question here from somebody in our 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat. I know it's crazy, but I want to throw this off of you really quickly. From Tay, he says, Grant, you felt like Adam Peters overpaid for Javon Kinlaw, didn't love that contract. Would you be upset if they overpaid for Terry McLaurin? And my answer to that is, when you overpay, it needs to be for guys like Terry McLaurin. When you overpay, it's for guys, not just for hopefully some services still to be rendered, but the guy who's very popular with all your players in your own locker room, who runs the show, who's a face of the franchise, who's done everything the right way, in a business that's about people. Kinlaw has not sweat here. He has not bled here. He's never played here. You don't overpay for him. You want to overpay for McLaurin, I could be okay with that. I mean, ideal scenario would be that you never overpay for anybody. You just do a bunch of smart.
But if you're going to make the mistake, quote unquote, it's for the guy that's performed here.
And the reason I would overpay Terry McLaurin, so I guess I'm saying in this case, yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
A, what he means to the organization and has for years, but that's not it. B, you're not paying Jaden Daniels yet. You have the ability to sign one of these type of deals if you want to. You don't have a defensive end who, you know, like a Ryan Kerrigan at the end of his career to give one more contract. So McLaurin could be the guy over the next 3 years you kind of grandfather in with the extra money you're not paying at quarterback. But what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I'm a very strict don't overpay anybody. And I would treat people really well 99% of the time. But when it came to this part of it, the business part of it, I'm the Patriots. I am cutthroat and a miserable bastard to deal with.
So that's how I was for a long time. And what I figured out is that doesn't work. You become very unpopular with your own people. Now, some people could say, well, the Patriots won, and they won because they had Tom Brady at quarterback. The moment they didn't anymore. If they had another good quarterback that wasn't Mac Jones after that, maybe they could have stayed afloat. But most of the players there hated Bill Belichick. And kind of play, you know, they loved him as a football guy and as a robot and as a defensive mind. But this is a people industry. How you treat everyone from the person that, you know, helps you get through the gate to park your car to the person that gets you your coffee to the players matters. And players recognize that. And so I think that's true. Like in fantasy football, that's how I operate. This ain't fantasy football. And it's a different thing. You know, and McLaurin belongs to an agency that's got a lot of talented players, and all of them are watching. But if you're either going to give out a lot of the bad contracts or none of them's better. That goes without saying. But I think occasionally, you can't just be a robot. Like, I once advocated that the Lakers shouldn't have paid Kobe on the last contract after the Achilles or whatever that was. Do I think that that was probably accurate? You know, in terms of, like, the player that he was at the very end and the money he's making? Maybe. You know, you can make the case that the Caps shouldn't have given Backstrom the contract. But there is a percentage that factors in on just taking care of your people that has to be part of your culture.
Which I understand.
How much? It sounds like you would say it's a 5%. I think it's like a 25-30%.
Yeah,
you know, something like that.
So, like, let's say John Allen was still here and still up for a deal. So when you make the special arrangement for Terry to overpay, then you got to make it for Allen. And let's say De'Ron Payne was still productive.
Different, I think.
It isn't. Like, you start, the reason no second round pick signed until way more guaranteed money happened was, I'm special. I deserve the guaranteed money as a second round pick. Then the next guy had to get that. Well, now 30 of 32 guys weren't signed as recently as Wednesday of last week because he's special. So aren't I special? And the bubble for who's special grows and metastasizes way quicker than you ever intended. Now, we're not used to it around here because we don't have good players that stay for a long time and earn contracts. But it's a precedent that I can't start doing. Doesn't mean I wouldn't pay him, but I would go, again, 99% of the time, you're being treated extremely well. Like if you're Grant McLaurin, you sprain your ankle, I'm calling your wife, I'm texting your dad, I'm letting everybody know he's going to be fine. All the different things they do culturally where they take care of you 99% of the time. When it comes to the leverage that they've got, if you'd like to complain about it, hit up your union rep. You know what I mean? Like we can't be in the business of overpaying receivers north of 30 where the track record isn't great.
So two things. One, we're talking about overpaying. Based on what we could tell so far, he's asking for market rate. So that's a big difference. I mean, overpaying would be to pay him $34 million a year.
Right.
If he wants $31 million a year, that's not overpaying. That's just paying him market, which I think is a very different conversation.
That's true.
I'm not suggesting you should overpay him. I'm saying they should offer him market. The one report we have on money is from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, who says they're not close to $30 million. Well, he's a $30 million receiver. He's proven that, and the proof's kind of in the pudding. So that would be number one in terms of rebuttal. The other thing is, going back to the Allen or Payne thing, Commanders fans know it's kind of those if you know things, but it's not the same. Like, Terry McLaurin's in the top 100 list that's stupid that the NFL puts out where all the players talk about players. John Allen's not in that thing.
Well, but you're refuting the general with the specific. I'm not saying he's already been released.
No, your
point is, let's say they had other guys that were really good that had been here for a while. There are none because Rivera and Lombardi sucked, but like if they had a rookie in what would have been 2019, who's now up for a big deal, you actually might have a second contract for one of your four first-round picks under those boobs. But yeah, I mean, so Terry is special. This guy's pretty good, too.
Well, but pretty good, too, is my point is that's not the threshold. It's a pretty tough threshold to crack where you get your members-only jacket for being the face of the franchise. There's one of those guys around here right now, and it's him. And it's like porn. You know it when you see it. You know, Terry McLaurin is the guy. Everybody kind of knows who is the guy that runs the show here. There's one of those. De'Ron Payne doesn't get to be that guy. Is there always the risk that there are other players that will want to crack the club? Sure. That's where you pay an executive to be pretty smart about who gets in and who doesn't behind that velvet rope for me. Grant and Danny, you can hop in. 800-636-1067 is the number. We have not talked much about McLaurin with training camp getting ready to start. I wonder what kind of questions are going to come Peter's way, Dan Quinn's way tomorrow. It'll be day number one of this becoming a significant distraction. Also, our double play coming up at 3:45. We've got those tickets to Wiz Khalifa at 4 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. ESPN ranked every NFL roster 1 to 32 today. The Commanders came in way higher than I would have thought.
Stunned by that ranking.
Seventh, the number 7 most talented roster in the NFL, according to ESPN. Biggest strength, they went off-ball linebacker, which also I was surprised by. They said it was tempting to pick Jaden Daniels in the quarterbacks, but the terrific Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu duo is too good to pass up. Wagner's entering his age 35 season, but he's shown almost no signs of drop-off, ranking in the top 10 among off-ball linebackers in pass rush wins, tackles for loss, quarterback hits last season. We talk a lot about his foot speed diminishing some and maybe, you know, their run defense not being that good, and he was a part of that because he just doesn't move like he used to. But it is true that he still makes a ton of plays.
Yes, he does.
And there's still a case to be made. I mean, he was a second-team All-Pro. When you talk about pass rush wins, where he's still good coming downhill, TFLs, getting into the backfield, hits on the quarterback as a rusher. He can still do a lot of things at a very high level.
Without a doubt. I mean, when I saw seventh, I went, oh, seventh in the NFC. Top of my head, that's probably about what it should be. And I'm not being flippant. I mean, like, I would probably even rank a little lower than that, to be honest with you.
Jaden Daniels makes them a top 5 team in the conference.
I would go that.
The overall talent is middle of the pack.
That's a 7 or 8 win team, 6, 7, 8 win team, depending on if a field goal doinks in or not, or an onside kick's recovered or not, or a 4th and 12 is converted or not. Drop passes dropped, you know, the whole deal. Jaden Daniels makes them double-digit wins, a threat, dangerous, elevating everybody else around him. I would not have said 7th in the NFL. I mean, that's big boy company right there.
Goes on to say that Louvu, Frankie Louvu, is one of the only NFL players with 250-plus tackles and 20-plus sacks over the past 3 seasons. He's got 335 and 21, respectively. The duo combined to play 98.2% of the team snaps last season. I love those two guys in tandem. I stop short of saying off-ball linebacker is one of their biggest strengths because Wagner's very old. and could get hurt. Age generally is synonymous with missing time. Didn't happen last year. Also, I don't think Luvu is going to spend a ton of time off the ball in the linebacking core. I mentioned this a lot, but I think he's going to come downhill and actually come off the edge some. Now, maybe the Von Miller addition on obvious passing downs is going to help keep Luvu off the ball in his linebacking role. But there's still going to be a lot of the time, I think, where they use him as a pass rusher. And there's a big drop-off to the rest of their linebackers, where a late-round pick like Kane Medrano might be able to play this season, or Jordan McGee is going to be counted on substantially, who barely played on defense at a few snaps last year. So just the overall depth of the position stops me from saying it's one of their biggest strengths. But if you're just looking at starters in a world where you only use two linebackers at a time and those two guys played at 98% of the time last year, I get why you would like Bobby Wagner, Frankie Luvu a lot. They're both sensational.
The usage of Luvu pre-Miller, I thought I had a pretty good beat on. Now I'm curious. I wonder if it's, by the way, some having that flexibility sort of gives you the opportunity to keep offenses guessing, right? So like every time you would pretty much say, okay, it's no longer a running down, Frankie. The offense, the defense, everyone else knows what's coming. He's either hand in the dirt, blitzing in one direction or the other, standing up and rushing. He's rushing the passer. I thought, okay, he'll have plenty of opportunities to do that. Now you can be multiple. You can make it look like he's going to do that, then back off and have him cover the flat or have him rush the passer in certain times. I think having Von Miller gives you a little bit of that flexibility when he's available, when he's healthy. But that tandem, I mean, and that doesn't include, you know, their desire, I think, to play more 4-3. More base at times, whether that's an extra safety pretending to be a linebacker, or if it's Jordan McGee, who we heard a lot about before injuries kind of robbed him of his debut season. But they're basically running up like a 4-2-5 almost all the time now, right? Think of that box safety, that Jeremy Chinn, now that Will Harris type role, almost as like your third linebacker. That is the strength of the defense, though. Which again, and I keep coming back to this, the reason I don't have them anywhere near seventh is I look at the rest of it and I'm going, are we sure that Payne, Kinlaw, Johnny Newton, and Dietrich Wise, that's your juggernaut? Like that's a defensive line that's good enough to be seventh in the NFL?
And that's a D-line that hopefully can stop the run, which I think is what they're going to be out
there
to do.
That's what they wanted to do, yeah.
I mean, they're going to have a completely different group, maybe Payne and Newton aside, when it comes to getting to the quarterback, I would think. Biggest weakness, they went safety. They say it's a toss-up between safety and edge rusher, but Luvu's pass rushing contributions, we just talked about, push them towards safety. Jeremy Chinn is gone, set to be replaced by journeyman Will Harris, who's going to work opposite Quan Martin. Percy Butler is returning his competition at the position too. None of these players posted a quality PFF grade in recent seasons. Safety's going to be an area where they're going to have to overachieve. I do think Quan Martin has come on enough that you feel like they've got one quality player at that position. But otherwise, there are some big-time questions. And I've said throughout the offseason, I really believe they're going to miss Jeremy Chinn. Now, the next category here is X Factor for 2025. Cornerback Marshon Lattimore is the answer. According to ESPN, they say in his limited time with the team, Lattimore didn't look like the top-flight corner he was in the past. That's an understatement. The Commanders need him to be better. The pass rush is a serious concern. Washington will need Lattimore, Mike Sanders still, rookie Trey Amos to lock down opposing wide receivers as long as possible. I think that's fair. I think Marshon Lattimore is the biggest X factor on the team. I totally agree.
Yeah, that's fork in the road stuff. If they're right, now what I would have done, now again, I'm not qualified to do anything, but what I would have done is said, you know what? We tried to do something special last year. The analogy I've used a million times is we were driving in a race we didn't expect to win. And we're up among the leaders and we blow a tire. And somebody comes along and goes, I got a tire, but because of where you are and what's happening, it's going to cost you a little bit more. Fine. I don't care. We got a chance to do something special. So you overpay for some tires. Turns out those tires weren't any good. They had an off-ramp this year to get out of that contract for no dead money. I would have done that, and I would have gone big game hunting in the cornerback market where you could really improve without paying $30, $27, $28, $29 million. They didn't. They redoubled down on Lattimore coming back and being the guy that he has not been in 4 years. Yeah, that's a pretty big call. That's the decision of the offseason to me.
It's a huge one. They are paying him $17, $18 million a year, I think it is.
Yep.
A corner of that ilk, a longtime starter, pro bowler type, not someone with the all-pro credentials that he has, but those guys aren't often available, and obviously he's not at that level anymore either. But you're talking about $20 million in this market this year that they would have spent. So it would have been spending even a little bit more, but you would have gotten maybe someone, whether younger or not, hopefully healthier and more productive. But you're right. They bet huge on Marshawn Lattimore, other than just Jaden Daniels. And I think you could always put the quarterback top of any X-factor list. What kind of season are they going to have? Is he going to replicate last year? Is he going to play even better than he did last season? Because now you're a Super Bowl contender and he's an MVP candidate. Is he going to take a small step back or turn the ball over more? Is he going to miss time? Like, those are real questions. But if you take QB out of the equation, Lattimore, to me, is the biggest X factor on the team. I think that's a great answer by ESPN. And then the last category, non-starter to know. This was kind of intriguing. They went with wide receiver Luke McCaffrey, believe it or not. They said McCaffrey didn't get as much playing time as expected as a rookie, finishing with 18 catches and 168 yards. However, he comes from an NFL family, entered the league with an 87% playmaker rating, which ranked 8th in the excellent 2024 receiving class. Similar in style and usage to Deebo Samuel Jr. Not sure I buy that. Which is
that they're both receivers.
A problem because the Commanders just acquired the actual Samuel. That is a weird comp for me. If Samuel gets hurt, don't be surprised if McCaffrey succeeds as his replacement. Again, I don't really get that comp by Aaron Schatz, former Football Outsiders guy we have on a bunch.
Maybe the idea is they're both underneath receivers when they are receiving. Let alone, Deebo Samuel's usage is going to be motion.
So you think he's talking about as a pass catcher, not like as a guy all over the formation?
That's the only way I can interpret that and have that make any sense. Like that's not a downfield threat. That's okay. Working within 12 yards and you know, operating underneath and, you know, in between the hash marks, maybe. I don't know. But again, that comp doesn't make much sense to me.
Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We've got those tickets to Wiz Khalifa. You got to be listening right at 4 o'clock if you want to win those.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Our double play every day at 3:45. What's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports, is driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
I made Brussels sprouts. So I'm home by myself for a couple days, GP, and trying to do the healthy bit with our friends at Co-Pair, et cetera. And after a couple, eating with extended family members, people are visiting on their way out of town, didn't have the best, health-related meals. So I'm trying to get back on the good foot. So I got myself some ground beef, some cheese, some no-carb burger buns, and I'm like, I need a side. You know what? Let me go for it. I got some Brussels sprouts. I generally think Brussels sprouts are a little overwrought, overrated. Everyone tells me how good they are. They always come out like super chewy. It's a pain in the butt. So I did it. I roasted these bad ones. I think it's what you call when you use the oven. For 20 minutes, a little balsamic vinaigrette, some salt, pepper, and Parmesan cheese. And I'm telling you, it was pretty good. And I did it by myself. I was very proud.
So, a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One, big Brussels sprout guy. Love Brussels sprouts. Air fryer Brussels sprout guy. Mm-hmm. That is the best way to do them. They get nice and crunchy and crispy, mm-hmm. and they taste like those, fried Brussels sprouts, basically, at a restaurant.
Yep.
And you're not going to get the syrup and the bacon and everything in there if you're doing it healthy, but that crunch is still going to be good. You can kind of peel some of those leaves off, too, and throw them on there to nice crisp them up.
Crisp them up.
Throw a little olive oil on there. But what you did is, while I would say, Brussels sprout starter-level stuff,
mm-hmm.
I remember being super excited about how they tasted initially. Now, you're going to eat those a few times, and you're going to be tired of those.
Well, of course. I mean, I get tired of everything. But the simple fact that I took this unappetizing, weird little green nugget and made it pretty good, relative, it's not as good as like a sandwich
which
or something.
Which I love, because you'd literally put a little bit of oil, salt, and pepper on it.
Yeah. But like I did it. Like I used the oven. I turned the oven on.
Wow.
Like, who does that?
That's big time.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
what
all
was
by
your
myself.
Entree with that meal?
I did ground beef, cheese, stovetop style. Put it in the and put it in a little low carb
bun. Burger.
Yeah, but like no more like loose meat. Like cooking the stovetop with a bunch of seasoning and stuff like that.
What's the cheese then?
Like American cheese, just shredded on there.
Okay, so it's a steak and cheese essentially.
Yeah, but like loose ground beef.
Right. Okay. On a bun.
Mm-hmm. So that part's not that wasn't interesting to anybody.
Still, but it's still tasty.
Yeah. The fact is, like, I use the oven, dude. Like, while other stuff was happening. Like, I don't do that. And I did that. I was pretty pleased with myself.
When's the last time I used the oven?
Yeah, that's my point. When have you used an oven?
I liked, it's been a while now with the good folks at Co-Pair.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only time I use an oven is, like, if I'm baking the kids cookies or brownies or something like that. And I try not to do that, because if I bake the kids cookies or brownies,
what's going to happen?
That means dad's going to eat some cookies or brownies.
Yeah, there it is.
Oven for a meal that was not baking. The last time I did that. Because occasionally I'm in the same boat you're in right now, which is my wife will take the kids to the beach or they'll go out of town or do something. And then I'm home alone. And when I do that, it's a lock. I'm going to go get a chicken breast and some broccoli at some restaurant or something. Mm-hmm. I'll just post up at the bar and watch it. Part of a game or make a couple bets on FanDuel and sit there and then go home. I'm stalling. I don't know the answer. I cannot remember the last time I cooked something in there.
It occurred to me as I'm sitting there, eating
it. Does it count if it's like a Stouffer's heated up and eat it thing? That probably
doesn't
count.
Like turning the oven? I'm not talking about a stovetop.
No, right. But
like the actual oven.
If I have like lasagna or mac and cheese or something like in the freezer because it's
easy
to cook the kids.
I think that counts.
Then that's probably been 4 to 6 months. But I've definitely done that where the wife's gone for the night and I've got to. But we're such an air fryer family.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of oven we use is like my wife cooks a lot of things in the oven. But for me, air fryer season. Everything stovetop. I'm a grill air fryer guy. That's the list.
Because it occurred to me while I was eating it, I'm going, when is the last time me, old Fanny Mouye, turned on the oven and used it, and like it worked correctly. Like, no fires were started. No, oh, you actually left the pizza box in there from the night before. Like, no maladies, just a regular old meal like a human being. I don't think I've used the oven myself since we have this, since we moved into this house in the spring of 22.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
I want to eat some of these Brussels sprouts.
I use the oven.
Times for my double play. I think James Gunn did it. I think he pulled it off pretty well. He and Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster wrote Superman should be very happy. Darius went and saw Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I texted him and said, how was Superman? He told me he gave it a 7.5 out of 10. And I said, whoa, it sucks. What happened? Like, why was it so terrible? Darius is like, no, I liked it. And I said, well, then why did you give it a 7.5 out of 10? Those are the kind of grades we give movies that aren't very good. But I went and saw Superman late last evening. Everyone was asleep at the house. Probably should be prioritizing sleep at this point so I can get up and, you know, help the wife at like 5 a.m. with four kids now. But we did that anyway. We did a quick turnaround. I thoroughly enjoyed Superman. Superman in general is not my favorite superhero. I don't know if I'm in the minority on this. I kind of find him lame. And I find a lot of the Superman shtick, like the little... Even in this movie, James Gunn tries to lean into some of his, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, like, quips and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really work for me. Where, like, you know, one of the other people in the movie, I don't want to give anything away, but, like, says to Superman, well, he's, like, in the middle of this fight for his life, like, quit fooling around, I need your help. And he's like, I'm doing something important. And, like, just the way he says it, it's like, I don't need that. I like the other elements of this movie way more than, like, the... bad dialogue, zing, cheesy thing from like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I'm not a DC guy at all, other than Batman stuff. I love all things the Christopher Nolan trilogy, the greatest trilogy of all time. I'm a big Batman guy. Is what I just said about Superman, I'd say the opposite about Batman. That's my one seed. I think he's the opposite of lame. But I thought this worked. This was by far my favorite Superman movie that I've seen.
Nice. Yeah. Was it too busy? Do you know what I mean when I say, is it too busy?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's definitely busy. Here's what I would say about that. There is one portion of the second of three acts where they're in like this dark territory, black holeville.
Sure.
That gets kind of busy, where there's a lot of like exposition being explained, where someone's telling Lois like what they're doing and why they're doing it and how they have to do it. And I think that was too busy. Like, there was a 15-minute sequence in there where I'm like, this is getting a little too much. But I think, by and large, otherwise, no, it worked.
Nice.
But I would give it a, let's see, so it's not terrible, so it certainly won't be in the sevens, Darius. I would give it a solid 8, maybe an 8.25.
Wow.
Which just means it's a pretty good movie that everyone should see in theaters. That's what an 8 is. A 7.5 means you should never see it.
You should never see a 7.5?
No, 7.5 is really bad.
I have nowhere near the issue you do with Darius' scale. It made perfect sense to me when he said it. I was like, oh, so it's fine. Pretty good.
Darius, you hated the... Like, you found nothing redeeming about it, obviously. You didn't even think the kid that worked at the newspaper with the girlfriend on the side, you didn't think that was kind of a funny, nice
Jimmy,
thing?
Jimmy Olsen. He's awesome. He was great.
Well, he can't be that awesome if it was a 7.5.
Your scale is just a little off, I think. That's all it is.
You get that.
You don't have an appreciation of what a 7, 7.5 is. That's all it is.
7.5. I haven't given out a 7.5 in a little while.
Well, there's got to be some room for the big boys. Like,
I agree.
When something's in the 9 or 10, so it needs to be than like a half a point.
8.7, 8.8, 8.9.
Yeah, but we need a larger gap.
9.2, 9.5.
Don't we need a gap?
I mean, again, it's a really good movie.
So, like, here's what I'm trying to give you.
Yeah.
Imagine I'm standing next to Chris Hemsworth. That's a 10. That guy's a 10. If you're giving me 8s because I'm just a regular dude, that's fine. There needs to be a bigger gap. I need to be in the two and a half range.
Hot
threes.
Dad, I'm not giving you 8s, okay?
Fair enough. What are you going to give me? 3?
Well, Darius will give you a 2 because he's
now we're talking
a hard grader.
Because you got to have the...
I'm going to give you, on a scale where Chris Hemsworth on the scale...
Yeah, and he's a 10.
You don't want me to answer this.
I do. Because your system would have me at like 7.75.
No, not at all.
You need to have a giant chasm between me and that guy.
You're 5.5.
Not big enough.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
There you go, coach. But next to him...
No, 5 is passable. You're 5.5. Hemsworth's a 10.
Yeah, the Dark Knight, if that's a 10 for you, which 10 for a lot of people.
I don't give out 10s, by the way.
then this, your scaling makes even less sense.
Dark Knight's probably a 9.9, 9.8.
Don't you need more numbers to separate it, to let everyone know how much better it is than everything else?
That's what the decimals are for. There's plenty of room here.
Man.
Yeah.
Too inflated.
I went in thinking this was going to be the worst movie ever because I'd only talked to Darius about it. And maybe that's why I liked it more.
Low expectations.
There's also some really good cameos in it. I don't know how Darius didn't enjoy those. But there's a lot to like about Superman. We're giving away Wiz Khalifa tickets as soon as we return on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.